It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope you're as happy as I am, because this is the place to be, with the brothers, sisters, fellowshipping together. I want us, as a call to worship this morning, to just draw our attention to Daniel chapter 9. I'm just going to read a few verses, but this is Daniel the prophet, his response to the desolation of Israel, because they had fallen away from God, and then they were taken captive, and their city was in ruins, and all that stuff. And here's what he says there in chapter 9, just a few verses. I'd encourage you to go and read his whole prayer. It's like a couple good passages long there, but it's beautiful. And here's what he says. In the first year of King Darius, son of Xerxes' reign, he says, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And here's the beautiful part for us this morning. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. And you know, think about that. I turned to the Lord, and pleaded with him. And he heard my prayer, and I turned with a fervency of my heart, because repenting and believing is a key in the kingdom of God. And we're here today to strengthen our faith. You know, I love the phrase, you'll hear me say it off and on, but, that verse that says, don't let any unwholesome thing come out of your mouth, but only what is pleasing and helpful to others, and, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, to build others up in their most holy faith. You see, if you have faith in the Lord, that is most holy. And it needs to be strengthened. And I praise God that we're here together this morning to do just that. Well, welcome everyone to the Salvation Army. And I just know there's one person here. First of all, just a quick hand. We're not going to put everybody on the spot. But raise your hand if you're brand new to the Salvation Army this morning. Good deal. A couple people. One over here. Excellent. Welcome. And what's your name right there? Are you Debbie? You're Debbie's friend, right? I was told by her to Somebody knows you already, but I understand you're moving back to Spokane. Is that correct? Excellent. Well, we welcome you as guests here today. We hope you'll enjoy the service and return over and over and over again, because that's why we keep coming, because the fellowship of the Lord is wonderful, and we learn great things. Well, I'm going to have a moment of prayer with us here, but I would also just like to have you take a look at your bulletin. This is printed very carefully each week. Now, my wife surprised me just now because she walked in. She's not feeling that well. Last couple days, she wasn't going to come today. So I did the bulletin, and it's almost 100% perfect, okay? But I did leave out that the songsters are going to bless the congregation, the fellowship, with a song today, and it's going to be right after the offertory, so we already know that. But I wanted you to know that when you see a group of people come up and sing, you'll say, well, that's not in there. Well, I take credit for that, okay? All right. But also, if you're new here today, or maybe if you just need this service, we have a nursery that's down this hall back here. You can get around, and that people can show you where that is. This portion of the bulletin is perforated. It comes off very easily. And if you would like to give us a prayer request, give us information about yourself, address, phone, if you would like a visit from a pastor, from myself, my wife, we can do that, and we would love to hear from you. So please tear that off and give us some information. You just put that in the offering plate a little later in the service as it's passed around. Well, as we begin our service together, it's important that we are united. And that little passage in Daniel is a great starting place. You know, repent and believe. Turn our hearts to the Lord in humility for him. We know there's a lot of difficult stuff going on in our world, and there's a whole plane that crashed, and, you know, it wasn't just by accident, it appears, that happened. That makes it, I think, even doubly tragic in some ways, that it's a senseless kind of a thing that happens. But 289 folks lost their lives there, including children. We know in Israel the conflict with the Palestinians is growing, even so much now that there's ground troops going in instead of just lobbing bombs back and forth at each other. Now they're actually pressing in with ground troops, and that escalates the war itself. And then, of course, we have a lot of fires here in Washington. I was alerted this morning that there's even one in Cheney. There's too many C names, right? But Cheney has one that's burning right now. So we're going to keep our eyes on that, see if there's a response that's needed from us. We'll try to figure that out today, what's going on with that. But if we could, let's bow our heads now as we begin our time of worship. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we thank you that you are the Almighty God. There is none other besides you. We acknowledge you and we exalt your name today. We worship you. I just thank you for each of the soldiers here, each of the attenders, each of the visitors that have come, God. May our hearts be open before you. May our hands be open before you to receive. Because you are a great God that is infinitely perfect and wise beyond any other. And we need to receive from you today. So I just thank you for that, Lord. I pray that we would have that open heart and posture, listening right now to what the Spirit says to the churches. And I just ask, God, that you just bless those families, the rescue workers, the nation. There's Ukraine and Russia and all that area over there where this plane was shot down. There's so much pain involved in that, so much devastation. 289 people rippled out to thousands of people, thousands upon thousands that are affected by the loss of those lives. And we just ask, God, that you'd comfort those who are grieving right now, that you'd let your truth press in of your great sovereignty, the fact that you hold all the days in your hand, the future, and we can rest in you even when it doesn't make sense in the day. And Lord, we ask that you just be with Israel, the nation, and those Arab nations around them, Lord, that they could see the great mercy and love that you have. And we know the Bible says they'll talk of peace, but there will be no peace until you have put everything in order in those regions and in our own community here. So we ask, God, that you do a mighty miracle there. Save those folks by your mighty hand and let your truth be known. Lord, in this state, as we battle fires, even now we have one close to us, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with keep the workers safe and protected. Protect homes, God. Let your glory be known and your power be understood in our communities. And we just pray that you'd bless us now as we continue this time of dedication. We come into your presence, God, into your house to pray and to learn, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This is my favorite Bible. It's called the Promise Bible, and all the promises of God in this Bible are highlighted in blue, and it's just fantastic to read and very inspiring. But I would like to just to read to you a brief little scripture out of here, and there is a promise in it. It is possible to give freely and become more wealthy, but those who are stingy will lose everything. God often blesses us who use money for his purposes. Those who hoard their money, using it only for themselves, never have enough. And I've seen that happen so often in the lives of many people, and on occasion even me. So consider that as we take up our tithes and offerings this morning. And God indeed blesses us. I went through this Bible early this morning, and I read all of the places where it promises God will bless us. I stopped counting at 25, the assurances of God's blessings in our lives. Be grateful to God for what he has given us, and we can give back to him because he owns everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we give our offerings to you this morning, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit's help, you will guide us to give up ourselves to you and to live for you. We give you praise, honor, and glory this day. Amen.
We wanted to make you aware of a few opportunities for service here at our church. Things just go, they don't slow down at summer here. It's a really good time. Did we have fun Friday night movies in the park? Home on the Range, it was great. As soon as it gets dark, we blast a movie on that movie wall over in the park, and we have a really good time. So this Friday, not supposed to announce, you know, the movies because, you know, there's probably some kind of copyright laws. I don't know, Rio 2 might be showing. Rio 2 might be showing this coming Friday, so it's going to be cool. So bring a blanket, bring a beach chair, and as soon as it gets dark, Noah does the countdown, and we put that movie on. Today, we have Lunch Bunch going on, right? Lunch Bunch going over to the milk bottle.
Timber Creek?
But they don't have, you know, the same milkshakes that the milk bottle has. Okay, no Huckleberry Shakes at Timber Creek, but we're going to Timber Creek Buffet out off of Argonne in the valley for our lunch bunch, so you'll feel free to join us. Obviously, it's been voted on. So, Timber Creek for lunch bunch today. They know us out there. They set up a section for us, and we have a good time. All you can eat. That's the best part. And then tonight, the same park we have our movies in, and we have Church in the Park, unless it gets a thunderstorm. So 5:34-ish, we have Church in the Park, we have Praise and Worship, we get some games going, some volleyball, have a really good time, and a good praise and worship, we bring in the Word and a barbecue, we have a really good time praising God in His sanctuary out in the open like that. It's a great opportunity for witnessing, and it's really, really comfortable, and we have a good time. So same thing, bring a blanket, bring a beach chair, and we'll have Church in the Park today. So in another week, we got Vacation Bible School coming up. So we'll have Cadet Leona come up and give us a little blurb on that, because this is what you get to do to cadets when you're a sergeant major. You get to put them right on the spot. So.
Hey, everybody. Just a reminder, we still need volunteers. It's really easy. All you'll have to do is just walk the kids from group class to class. You really don't have to teach anything. You just get to hang out with us and have fun. And like I said, there's also dinners provided, so it's all free. So please, there's a sign up in the back. And also, just to plug myself, I'm having a bake sale today, and it's not really bake anything. It's just stuff I put together. It's like a no-bake bake sale. So I'll have the goodies in the back after church. So that's it. Thank you. Volunteer for VBS and sign your kids up as well in the back today. Thanks.
So throughout the week, we have continuing activities. On Thursdays, we have Bible studies here at Adult Bible Studies. It's great. And there are discipleship classes and everything going on. So we don't slow down at all. This Thursday is when we do Bible studies. They kind of separate the guys and the gals, the Bible brothers and then the soul sisters. So you'll want to really get into the Word. It's a very good Bible study. Now, for future events, August 8th through the 10th, we're going out to camp, Gifford. Yeah. Yep. Unless the camp staff has, you know, destroyed the camp, we'll go out. They're working on it, yeah, okay. So Camp Gifford, we have a core retreat out there. You'll want to, we have registration going on for that. You got a registration sheet, and there's some brochures to tell you all about it. It's going to be really great. We're going to have the shepherds coming out to be our speakers for the weekend from Tacoma. Really, this guy, you cannot get around him. He knows the Word inside and out. Boy, it's great to try to do that, but he can't do it. We tried at men's camp. You can't get around him. He knows the Word, and he's going to bring it to us that weekend. It's going to be great. You'll want to participate in that. It's going to be good. You're going to have a good time. And, man, I've been seeing Facebook shots of the lake and at camp from the camp staff, and it's so beautiful out there. You'll want to come out and be part of it in God's great beauty. So now I do have an announcement from Major Steve, and then we'll have the praise and worship team come up.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And what I would like to announce is a Christian education opportunity that we'll be starting next Sunday during Sunday school time. Okay, Christian education, discipleship, getting deeper in the Bible is all about what we should be about. And so men, this is for men, okay, it's a Sunday school class, and it's this workbook and book called Experiencing God. Okay, it's a 12-week study, and it'll happen at 9:30 on Sundays, and this is an excellent study. It requires some commitment for 12 weeks. You're going to dig in and together with a group of people wrestle with and discover new things in the Bible. So it's a $25 commitment for the set like this, and that shouldn't keep anybody from joining in. If you have your heart set on learning the Word of God, and God inspires you to come, you come and talk to us, and we'll work it out if it's a hardship. But it is a $25 commitment for this course, and I would really like to see. I've got about three or four folks committed already to that Bible study, that Sunday school class, And this is the workbook, the bigger part. That'll be for some exercises to do during the week. But I've heard excellent things about this. My own son has participated in it, and even Cadet Ray has some past experience with it. So it's an excellent opportunity. If you can be here at 9:30 on Sundays for 12 weeks, you would benefit greatly from that. So that's the announcement on that. And I'm just going to throw another plug in for next week. We are having a two-hour prayer and fasting session here in the sanctuary. So fast forward a week. You're sitting here in church. At the end of church, we would come back at 1:30. The idea here is to raise dollars for World Services, secondary in a sense. That is the main purpose of the activity, except for we are going to pray and fast lunch. Now, if that's a hardship for you for diet or medical things or something, you can go out and get lunch and come back and just be part of the prayer and fasting, or the prayer time at least with us. It's going to be a beautiful time of uniting our hearts together before the Lord and seeking His His will and His truth in our lives. And we'll be praying for the persecuted church on that. So the thing that the prayer and fasting is to raise dollars for World Services, we're asking that you bring a gift, a donation, that will go straight to our World Services effort. And that's really the secondary thing for that. We want to raise dollars to go around the world with the good news.
What a great day. I just really appreciate the worship. And oh my goodness, just that freedom in just saying how great is our God, how great is our God. How great is our God? And to share that with just you all is just amazing. Just to see us in one accord in worship, just saying, God, you are great. Amen. I mean, hey, before we go into our scripture reading, it's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. It's the fifth book in your Bible. And for those who have the Pew Bibles, it is page 145. But I also want to acknowledge just those who went to music camp real quick. Just want to give an announcement. In this last week, we took 10 total. We committed to 10 campers. We took 10. And in that 10, we had 3 come back with outstanding awards, which is Natina May, Tiffany, and also Caleb from Moses Lake. So and on top of that, 5 girls from our core were in Timbrels. So just so you know, they actually was really good. I was very impressed. And I committed to them. I said, look, if you guys will do it here, I will do it with you guys. I don't know if I'm going to follow through with that, but I just got so excited, and I just opened my mouth, and it was all bad. Yeah, and also, and one of our kids, Taylor, joined the band, and he performed at Soloist Night. So we're very proud of our kids, and we're just very happy to have that opportunity just taking them out. Our scripture reading, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And it reads this. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan River to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all these kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. So who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is God's word, and we believe it.
Excellent. And welcome back to you young people that went to music camp, and Cadet Ray was over there. Okay, so that's that. I'm going to put that as I got this one on now. Well, as Fiji said, I invite you to open your Bibles. You've got your own Bible, open it up, Deuteronomy 6. If you don't have one, find one right now, because I have a feeling when he mentioned that maybe some people didn't react to that or respond to that by opening a Bible. I encourage you to have a Bible open. This is the time when we look into God's most holy word, the word that can change our lives and inspire us to live for him. So it's very important that we do that together this morning. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament, and it's known as the Pentateuch, or the books of the law. And that's very central to what we're going to talk about here this morning. In 6:1, you see the very first verse there. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." The commands, decrees, and laws. Now, thinking of the context of where these come from, we know it like the Ten Commandments. When were they given? If you go back and look in the scriptures, you'll see that on Mount Sinai, a very terrifying event occurred. You know, on the mountain of God, there was deep darkness and clouds and smoke and fire, and there were trumpet blasts, and there was the voice of God coming out of all of that, and all Israel heard it. Okay, it wasn't just Moses that heard it. We got to remind ourselves of that. Moses went and spoke with God on the mountain. He was the only one allowed to go up there. In fact, the warnings came with this whole thing too. Don't touch the foot of the mountain or you will die. And in fact, if you read carefully in there, you'll see that that if a person were to touch the mountain during this time, they were not to be touched themselves because they are touching the holy mountain of God's presence right there. And so it said to stone them so that you can release the stone or they would be shot with arrows. I mean, that's just something that's very interesting, the holy presence of God on that mountain. It was terrifying, and of course, the nation of Israel said after hearing the voice and hearing the commands of God spoken, they said, go up and speak with God yourself, and then come and tell us. We will not live if we continue to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, of course, God could have sustained them, but that was because there was great fear in their hearts at that moment, because of the presence of the Lord who is so mighty and awesome. Now, as we consider this morning the righteous law of God and how it impacts those who honor it, do you honor it? Are we together in that? Are we honoring the word of the Lord in our lives? I see heads shaking. I love seeing heads shaking. It's not bobblehead time, okay? It's confirming that we honor the word of the Lord, right? All right, I'm looking around because that's important for us as a family, a faith family. Because if we honor the word of the Lord, there's several things I want to bring out of this passage this morning. First of all, the law brings blessing, all right? The laws and commandments and decrees of God bring blessings. And then also that we ought to be lovers, deep lovers of the giver of the law, okay, the one who gave the law to us. And finally, we must live by the word of God, living by the word. And so we're going to look at those three things. First of all, the law is given for our blessing. Moses was directed to teach God's commands. We see that right here at the beginning in this first verse. His commands, decrees, and regulations to the people so that they would find blessings. Now, Matthew Henry, commentator Terry, says this, in this and the like passages, so right here in this passage of chapter 6, the commandments seem to denote the moral law, the statutes or decrees, the ceremonial law, and the judgments, the law, or the law by which the judges decided. So a lot of times we think of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, or covet, or misuse the name of the Lord, or make idols that you worship, but made out to look like anything, out of anything. Don't do it. There is only one God, and we worship him. That is the unchangeable moral code that God declared at Mount Sinai to Israel and has passed down to us who would choose to honor and worship the only God that there is. So the moral law could be the Ten Commandments, or should be the Ten Commandments. But then how does that work out? So we have regulations and we have statutes and decrees that kind of bring it out into practical application in our day-to-day living. And those have endured throughout the ages. Then somebody has to decide if somebody breaks the law. So there are regulations that would help judges make wise decisions because we know that there is disobedience in the world and people do break the laws of God. Moses taught the people all of the law and that only which God commanded him to teach. Thus, Christ's ministers are to teach his disciples as he has commanded, not more or less. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 tells us, Matthew 28, verse 20, you know, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us. Let's have a brief prayer here as we just enter into this time. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you that the living word of God is before us. We thank you, God, that the living word does not return void. We declare it today. We speak it boldly and straightforward. We know that in this room right now, there's possibly people who are confused on different matters of this life and world and on what's happening and how we should respond to your working in our lives and throughout history. We just pray right now, God, that our eyes of the Spirit would be open, that we would hear and listen and obey and find the blessing that you have ready to pour out on all who come to you and who seek you. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, how do you view God's commandments? Are you receiving them? How are you learning the commands? These are all good questions. Perhaps there's some that aren't really active in that mode. But I want to assure you today that the Ten Commandments, also known as the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, sometimes they're referred to as the Ten Words, that they are not antiquated or out-of-date commands that are just for a time gone by. In our world, in your world, right now where you live, in your schools where you go to school, in your jobs, workplaces, they are the commands of God that hold true for today. And I know there's a lot of folks in here who have heard people say, oh, you still read the Bible, that stuff? That's past tense. Why don't we enlighten ourselves a little bit with worldly wisdom? Well, while the world wants to sweep away, millions of people sweep away the Word of God and His commands, be assured the commands of the one and only Almighty God still stand. And I know that there's a lot of united hearts in that in here this morning. It's very important that we acknowledge that in our congregation. Without question, God's moral laws are for everyone, and there's no escaping them. Okay, and I'm glad that that's true. I'm glad there is no escaping him. You know, whether you trust in God and believe his word and observe his laws or not, there's no escaping that it's true wisdom for all eternity. That's a fact. Everyone will understand that in the end, at least, and we hope sooner. It's a central part of his loving plan to draw his children back to his side. He wants to draw you closer to himself, and that's really why the law was given. It's a part of his plan. He would draw all those back to him who would observe his commands. And there's really two blessings in these first three verses now. This is where we can put our eyes in the verses right here. There's two blessings that are denoted right off the bat. The first blessing is for the individual. It says for the individual and their children and their grandchildren, because God's law, if it is observed, pours out blessing that touches children and grandchildren and generations of people. It's an incredible opportunity for us to learn and the lessons that Moses was commanded to teach and grab hold of those things. So the first response is a life-giving response. It's noted in verse 2, and it says the life-giving response is to fear the Lord our God. To know God is to fear him. Fear is a profound reverence, awe, and respect. I think a sermon a couple months ago, we really kind of looked into this. It's very important to fear the Lord. And I say to know God is to fear him. Fear is a profound reverence, awe, and respect, an exaltation of who he is. And you know, a friend of mine who I get to have some Bible studies with on a weekly basis, he said to me one time, I think it was in response to that message a while back, that fear is also about trembling and real fear, like we think fear, and that's important to note. And I'm adding that in here today because a holy terror, if you will, of a God who holds all things in his hand is very profound in a person's heart. Even in the context of this passage, we remembered the terror that the Israelites felt on that mountain, you know, or not on the mountain, near the mountain at the foot, because of the presence of God. Over and over through Scripture, people were greeted by angels, and they trembled, it says, in fear. And some of them fell down as though they were dead because of the awesome glory of God. And all the time you hear, do not be afraid. And those were just angels. The God Almighty himself Think about what it'd be like if you and I today were to stand in his presence immediately. You know, I can only imagine, right? There's a beautiful song about that. But I think we might sing, we might dance, but we might fall down on our faces too and have to be given some spiritual strength to rise up and continue to hear his voice and see his presence. But for us who embrace his commands and the outpouring of his love, fear should grow into a deep love and awe for him and for who he is. To identify yourself as a worshiper of God is life's greatest privilege. John 4, verse 23 says, But an hour is coming, and now it has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father these are the kind of people that he seeks for his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So we ask ourselves, how do we worship God? How do we respond to the laws, commands, decrees, his authority in our lives? Well, I hope we do it in spirit and truth. Not in ritual, not just because you came to church today doesn't make you a part of the family of God. Not just because you sang those songs that were beautifully sung here earlier. It's because we open our hearts and repent and believe on Jesus Christ for salvation, that we worship in spirit and in truth. The second state of blessing is the promise of enjoying long life. The Israelites were going to cross over the River Jordan, and they were going to enter into a land of milk and honey. Moses didn't get to go, but his successor, Joshua, led him over, and they went into the promised land. And it said, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's something to ponder a little bit. You know, a land flowing with milk, goat's milk, cow's milk, I don't know, camel milk. I don't know what all kinds of milk people might have drank in those days. But the truth is, though, by the flowing of milk and honey, it means the vegetation is growing strong. There's blossoms and there's fruit happening. And there's a cycle that's strong and protected. God put his blessing upon that. And they lived in security and in safety and in far more than just that. But their needs were met. They were going into that land flowing with milk and honey. Now, you and I will know God's abiding peace and joy as we eagerly obey the Lord our God. I hope that's your heart today, is that you eagerly, there's a good word to think about. Am I reluctantly? Am I casually? Or am I eagerly pursuing my God and his righteousness and his commands and his wisdom? Well, we want to do that together this morning. The second thing is loving the lawgiver. Now, verses 4 and 9, this is important. This, by the Jewish folks, they call this the Shema. Okay, it's a very central passage of Scripture, and I want to just learn a little bit about that with you today here. The Shema is seen as a declaration of absolute monotheism, okay, mono meaning one. There is one God, and you can read it there. Let's just read that verse 4. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the key part. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Loving God with everything, heart, soul, strength. In another scripture, it actually adds mind in there. That even makes it more inclusive, more total. How does your whole being, your whole existence love God? Now, as sinful man, we find it very hard to do that, I think. It's our own choice, though. Right now in this place, someone could say, you know what? I haven't been loving God with my all, and I choose to make that choice. And you know, the Shema here, these verses 4 and 5, starts with, Hear, O Israel. And we are part of that. We are the spiritual Israel. They're the holy nation chosen. We've been grafted in and drawn into that beautiful spiritual nation of God. And we need to make that choice to hear and listen. Listen with intentionality. The Salvation Army doctrine states, we believe that there's only one God who is infinitely perfect. Infinitely perfect. The creator, preserver, and governor of all things, and who only is the proper object of religious faith and practice. I love that doctrine. There's only one God. He's creator, he's preserver, and he's the governor of all things, and that's where the law comes in. He governs with might and with righteousness and with truth. Now, are you listening? Are you hearing that beautiful Shema, as the Jewish folks would call it? They really considered it a privilege to quote that or pray that as part of their prayer morning and night, morning and night. And you know, sometimes we better take a clue from Israel because they are very deliberate about being faithful to honor God and to recognize him in the moments, in their days. And sometimes we could just be more concerned about, you know, if we're going to eat at Jack in the Box or Chipotle for, you know, for the next meal or something like that. We're not concerned, perhaps, with the things that are deep in the Lord. And that's something that we should be thinking about. So how is it possible to love God with so much passion and energy, keeping in mind that we are sinful man, that we are fallen, and that we are finite? Well, I found if you go on online sometime, there's a Christian resource called Got Questions, and it's all about spiritual questions. And I read this through as I was studying for this, and I think this says it very well. I'm picking it up. It's just an excerpt, but I'm picking it up after it talks about the fact that it's impossible for us to serve God and love God with our all in and of ourselves. So then he says, but as Christians, and here it is, but as Christians we have been cleansed from sin and we do have the Spirit. So how do we begin to love God the way we should? Just as the man in Mark 9:24 asked God to help his unbelief, so too we can ask God to help us in areas where we don't love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is his power that we need to do the impossible, and we begin by seeking and appropriating that power. In most cases, our love and affection for him grows more and more intense as time goes by. Certainly, young Christians newly saved are very much aware of the love of God and their love for him. But it is through the witness of God's faithfulness during times of struggle and trial that a deep love for God grows and grows. Over time, we witness his compassion, mercy, grace, and love for us, as well as his hatred for sin. His holiness and righteousness. We cannot love someone we don't know, so knowing him should be our first priority. And that's something to mark in your hearts right now. Those who pursue God and his righteousness, who take seriously the command to love him above all else, are those who are consumed with the things of God. They are eager to study God's word, eager to pray, eager to obey and honor God in all things, and eager to share Jesus Christ with others. It is through these spiritual disciplines that the love for God grows and matures to the glory of God. So see, it's a power outside of yourself. If we want to love God with everything, heart, mind, soul, and strength, first of all, get a grip on that truth, you know? Get a grip on that truth, because that's what we're called to do. We got to release everything, put everything in his hands, and honor him and acknowledge him that way, and he will lift you up, he will sustain you, and he will carry you through this life. Would you turn your all toward cultivating a deeper love for your God? And I underlined your in my notes here, because it's a personal thing. It's you, your God. Is he your God? Or is it just, maybe someone came in here and has just joined in because this congregation, this crowd right here, you know, seems to be worshiping God, and maybe that's why you're here. Well, they do it, and they're friendly people. I'll do it too. But you really haven't made him your God. It's important that you acknowledge it. Remember in that passage I just read, it said that a priority is to turn your will over to God and make sure you know him as his child and he is your Lord. God is love and his way is blessed. If you will pursue him, you will find all that you need. So I want to move down to the final point and hear what Moses taught about living in the law. And I'm not going to go way off into this because this is a big topic and you can find a whole lot of stuff in Romans on this about the inadequacy of the law and whether it's good, whether it's holy, whether it's right. I just want to tell you it is. God's laws are perfect. Okay? But they brought out sin in us. They exposed us for who we were, rebellious, fallen man. And because of that, it is good, because it's opening the door for us to respond in a way that brings glory to God and salvation to our hearts. So praise God for the law. Sometimes I think us Christians, we might think, wow, God's so heavy. Does he really love us? Boy, he laid it on us. That's too much. Why would he do that? You know, I mean, that's just way more. He knows we can't handle it. Do we have those thoughts sometime? I think that's probably the case for some of us, maybe all of us. But God is righteous. His laws are good. So we need to live in the law and live in Christ. We're going to add that overlay, which is profound. So start with me, reading with me with verse 6 here. In verse 6, we see These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In order for God's commands to find their way to rest on your heart, thinking about that, letting it rest on your heart, you first must focus your attention on them and continue to do this consistently and repeatedly. I think of the scripture in James where it says, you know, he who looks in the perfect law that gives freedom and doesn't forget but continues to do it, he will be blessed. Okay, gazing on the words, taking time with the words, because a lot of times casual reading doesn't really get into us very well. We have to stop and take time in there, meditate, spend some time really letting it soak in. Now, we could take an example from the Bereans, and in Acts 17, take a look there, Acts 17, verse 11. The Bereans were a group of people near Thessalonica in the Mediterranean area. I just went right past it. There we go. And just one verse, verse 11. Says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. There's that word eagerness again. And examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They were diligent. And I guess the Thessalonians, you know, the word was preached to the Thessalonians. And many of them, probably even some who repented and confessed Christ as their Savior, just let the word kind of, you know, of course, they didn't have the resources we have today. I'm sort of thinking, well, they didn't have this yet. It was still being put together. But they let those words kind of just sit on the side. But the Bereans were of more noble character. And you know what? The congregants at the Salvation Army in Spokane are of more noble character, perhaps. Now, we're not comparing ourselves with anybody, but hey, you know, along with the Bereans, we should be noted for that, that we study God's Word, that we dig into God's Word, that we let God change us and ask for that transformation in our lives. Consistently, day by day, let it seep in and let us grow. Colossians 3:16, I know this, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and singing hymns and songs and spiritual songs in your heart to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are you doing that? We are called to live in the word. He said, you know, this passage, going back to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, teach them to your children. Now, you know, sometimes many of us, I cannot remember a time my mom or dad read the scriptures to me, ever. Not ever. I don't have that joy, that experience of blessing. But I do know they both love the Lord today, and somehow God reached in with other folks. And you know what? That, though, sometimes causes people who may be in that experience to say, you know, I wasn't raised that way. I don't know the Bible at all. No one taught me anything. And then they have a family, they got children, and it's like it says, teach them to your children. And all I want to say is, open the Bible, read the Bible, listen to it, let it come into your home, make it central, and talk about it a lot. It is powerful. It brings great joy. It clears up the fog in life. You know, what should I do this? How should this work? Boy, everything's in here. So if you need help, ask pastors. That's why pastors exist. That's why, you know, spiritual leaders and mentors are important. But don't sit on the sidelines idly. Open the word and let it be part of your life. Now, there's another thing that sometimes people respond to. And I don't know if I still see a Sean here. Is she here? Wave your hand to Sean. There she is. She's back there. And she said something today. She started discipleship with Lieutenant Ken. They've been going at it for a number of weeks this summer, along with some other young people. And she said, I didn't know how it's going to be because I thought it might be boring. But you know what? She told me just this morning, I said, hey, listen in my sermon because I use the word boring in my sermon. A lot of people think the Bible is boring. You know what? It's a book. It takes energy. It takes deliberate will to open it up and make it part of your life. But it has nothing to do with boring. And you know, that's what Ashawn, and I asked her, mark this down, Nancy, because she said she'd be willing to give her testimony up here sometime in the month of August. So we're going to have her do that. Praise God for, yeah. But you know, it's interesting because a lot of times we think of the word of Christ being boring, and it is not. It is life itself, and it brings things to light. Well, let's wrap this up. The one thing I'd mention here, when it talks about impressing them on children, immersing yourself. I see immersing there. When you lie down, when you wake up, when you walk along the road, when you're, you know, at home, all those things. Speak and discuss the Word of God. Make that a central part. But then it goes a little step further. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, I have never done what the Jewish people do. They took this very literally, and they tie boxes called phylacteries onto their hands or their foreheads, and they might do it in different ways with a leather strap. And when I did a little reading about that, it talks about how they'll put different scripture passages in there, and during the day they'll open their box, separate times they'll pull it out, and they'll remind themselves of what the scripture has to say. And Deuteronomy 6, these opening verses here, the Shema, were oftentimes included in those phylacteries. I mean, you can't stuff the whole Bible in there necessarily, but you put some cornerstones of your faith. The point of that is that we ought to be absolutely outwardly surrounded by the scriptures and immersed in it. I went around my house. Now, because I'm kind of technologically challenged, I've got them on my phone, but I didn't get them up here. But I went around my house, and I took about 8 pictures of places where the scriptures are on our walls. And they're in artwork and different things. In my office, I have one that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, go into my office sometime. You're all welcome. You can see that. I'm sure some of you have that, but I want to tell you, put them on your homes. Get them up. Get them visible somehow. Some people can do the artwork and the scrolling things like Clara back there. She's a great one with a paintbrush and painting signs. I might have to tap her one day for a special job in the fellowship or the FRC lobby. Maybe put up something there. We need to do it. We want people to know what is the word we stand upon and give God the glory with that. Well, I'm going to ask Major Dave to come up, and he's just going to play that same song we sung earlier, and we're going to give a little bit of an opportunity here to respond to what the Holy Spirit's telling us in our lives. And the words will be up there. We're going to just use the third and fourth verses of the song we sung earlier. I don't see. And I invite you to come to the place of mercy this morning. And I just think, you know, as we think about loving the giver of the law with our all, what a place to come and just say, "God, help me do that. I know I've carved out a little corner of my life that isn't working right. I'm not giving you honor by that." Well, I'm going to just challenge us this morning to come. And we all need help in obedience and remembering. And even now, as you would play that chorus, this is the place where we come and just kneel. Bring a friend. Say, "Come pray with me." This is the place of renewing, the building up of our most holy faith. And we ask that you just consider that even now. Ask him for strength and understanding and courage to do what he's calling us to do. Would you turn your all toward cultivating a deeper love for God? If you will pursue him, you will find all that you need. And here's the time of worship, the time to come and be before him. So as we sing this, I'm going to lead us in verse 3. And if you want the songbook, it's 548, but it should be up there for you. So as we sing this, come and seek him at this place of mercy. The verse 3 here says, "Less of self and more of me." It's the turning point. Actually, verse 2 says, "Some of self." But we want all of God and less of me. So let's do that right now. Let's respond as the Spirit leads.